Wow.
What's up?
I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
That was Rams Radio. Long night for Sam Darnold and the Vikings. The long goodbye was a blowout. Rams move on to face Perloff's Philadelphia Eagles. We have plenty of time to unpack what should be a good game there, but this kind of felt like it was all about Sam Darnold, sort of a referendum on Darnold, who had become, Pearl, one of the hot QB names, someone who we were penciling in. How much is he going to get? Is he going to get $150 million? Is he going to get $200 million?
Oh, I never heard that. Was there... That wasn't a thing. $200 million. The question was he going to get a job? Was he going to get $200 million?
Well, what is the going rate right now for quarterbacks? And it doesn't mean you're getting every penny of that $200 million, but you know how this goes. It would probably be an eye-popping number if he was going to get to unrestricted free agency.
Right.
Kirk Cousins consistently shocked us with the sticker price. He made tons and tons of money after leaving Washington. I think Sam Darnold was lining up for a pretty significant payday considering the draft is not that deep this year with QBs, and you have a lot of QB needy teams. But to be honest, I think Sam Darnold's bridge quarterback status has been reactivated after the last 2 weeks. These were the two biggest games of his career outside of his college career, and he fell flat in both of them. And I don't think now it'd be possible to sell to an owner, if you're a GM, hey, here's Sam Darnold. Let's give him a bag of money to be our quarterback for the next 3 years when you know you cannot win a Super Bowl with Sam Darnold.
I don't see it that way. I think around week 14 or 15, Schefter started reporting that Sam Darnold expects a Baker Mayfield deal, which is about $33 million a year plus inflation. So since the cap goes up, that's about 37. I think a team can bring in Sam Darnold and they're not selling out their future. So I think a lot of teams don't think like you're thinking. I think they think, give me competent quarterback play. And by the way, Sam Darnold, even in Carolina, because I bet against him a bunch of times, like he would have decent games. There were moments. He was not as terrible as you think. You have to put a filter on all the Jets numbers and the Panthers numbers. Okay. He had a season with 19 touchdowns and 13 picks in Jets. That's equivalent to 45 touchdowns and 2 picks on a normal team.
Yes.
I honestly think you have to understand, like, those were terrible spots. Yes, is it going to be as easy as playing indoors with Justin Jefferson at receiver and Kevin O'Connell at coach? No way. But is he a competent mid-level quarterback? Yes. And I do think there's a market for competent mid-level quarterbacks.
Maybe, but if I'm running a team and I'm running it well, then that's the last thing I want. Because if I'm the New York Giants, if I am the Las Vegas Raiders, if I'm someone like that who needs a quarterback, Sam Darnold just clogs the lane.
So you're saying you got to keep it open for your draft pick?
Absolutely. Because Sam Darnold is, you've seen it, the last two games, he cost you games.
Well, I don't know if he caught, I mean, I don't know if anybody was winning that for the Vikings last night.
And I'll go back to against Detroit. I think that
Detroit's the best team in the league.
I'm just saying, well, at some point, if you want to win, if the goal is to win, you're going to go up against good teams.
Yes.
And the last 2 weeks, Sam Darnold went up against good teams, and we saw what happens. When Sam Darnold and the Vikings are playing the Giants, the Jets, the Indianapolis Colts, the Jaguars, the Titans, the Bears twice, Arizona, Atlanta, Seattle. Yes, Sam Darnold can win you those games. And then what happens when you get to the real elite competition? Good night. Sam Darnold got dragged into deep water and drowned. And you know what? That's not what I want to pay for. That's not what I'm looking for my next franchise guy if I'm running a team. I'm not looking for Sam Darnold to come in and win just enough games for me to take me out of a quarterback sweepstakes. If you haven't solved your quarterback situation on your team, you got to keep going for the draft, not go for Sam Darnold. He doesn't get you anywhere, in my opinion.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think the Vikings are that great a team. I think they're good, not great. I think the Lions are way better. And Darnold, you know, kept you in the first game. He played really well. I just think that Sam Darnold, you could do a lot worse. I'm not saying, like, listen, I'm like so excited that I'm going to win a championship with this guy. But if you're the Giants, for example, I mean, maybe with Dable, that won't be that great, but I think you could get a lot out of this quarterback. He's so different than like the journeyman, like the 35. He's 27 years old.
Yeah, but he's still a journeyman.
But it's so like he's 6'4" and 27 years old. He, as Kyle Shanahan said, like people don't understand this guy at all. His talent was way above what people think. Like
right. They had him as a backup.
But the age, I think the age is what's different about him as a journeyman. Like I think there's still upside. I mean, Shanahan was a joker. He called him Steve Young. He's like, Sam Darnold's so talented.
Then why didn't he start over Purdy?
Well, because Purdy was really good. Purdy was Steve Young, too. He had an amazing season 2 years ago.
Okay.
I think, by the way, Shanahan falls in and out of love really quickly. I think he partly would be, like, interested in Darnold again. But I don't think they're going to do that. I think they're going to re-sign Purdy. But I don't think Shanahan was joking. He's like, you guys do not understand, like, how bad the situation Sam Darnold came from. And obviously this year, he's going to get MVP votes. He had a great season.
Right. And I think Kevin O'Connell did get a lot out of him. So do I think the next coach is going to be able to get more or less of the same out of Sam Darnold? And then ultimately, what happens when you win 14 games? Mm-hmm. The expectations get raised, right? Maybe you didn't think that the Vikings were going to win the Super Bowl, but they were in a winner-take-all game for the number one seed in the NFC, yeah. Right? So now all of a sudden people do start to believe there is some hope. So when you have a game like last night and you come out and stink, well, now it hurts double because you could say for some guys it's like a pleasant surprise. Geno Smith was a pleasant surprise. When he took over for the Seahawks when Russell Wilson left, it was like, wow, oh my gosh, we had Geno back here.
What's the difference between those two situations?
Because this was a 14-win team. This was a 14-win team. So you can't just undo all that and say, hey, we were just happy to be here. I don't think that's what the fan base is thinking. I don't think everyone's just happy for the journey. Like last night on the broadcast, Troy Aikman said, 14 wins is meaningless now. He goes, I hate to say that because, you know, the regular season does matter, but it kind of doesn't also. You put yourself into that elite sort of playoff status, people started believing, and then you were just terrible.
Yeah, but I mean, the reality is this Vikings, it's all true, but the Vikings, obviously, nothing was about this year. Nobody came in and said, man, we are all in for this year. The second McCarthy got hurt, the plan was to have J.J. McCarthy a quarterback,
sure.
And he was going to learn on the job, and they were probably going to be 8-9, 7-10. Like, they have a good team, not a great team. So there's nothing about the plan went wrong this year. The plan was never to be in the Super Bowl. That was not even in their thoughts. The plan is we got a rookie quarterback. We're going to build around him, bring in talent over the next 3 years, get the chemistry going. Like nobody, I think maybe it feels bad in Minnesota right now, but in 3 weeks, like I think it's back to normal. It's like, okay, Kevin O'Connell can sure call some plays. The defense has some moments. I do think there's some problems there that need to be addressed. But generally, like, yeah, things are headed up for Minnesota for sure.
I think 3 weeks ago, the thought process was, wow, the Vikings probably can't afford to let Sam Darnold leave the building, and they may have to trade J.J. McCarthy. Can you just acknowledge how different the conversation is now?
I think certain media members were the trade McCarthy thing. I bet you in that building in Minnesota, the GM did not even really think about that. Because I just think about it. You draft J.J. McCarthy number 10, you probably are in love with that dude.
Okay, but if Sam Darnold has gotten them to the NFC Championship game, then...
Then you franchise tag him. You said all along, franchise tag him.
I did say that.
$41 million.
That's out the window now, too.
Probably, but it's still such a small commitment that it's going to be somewhat attractive.
855-212-4227. Talk about Sam Darnold's future. George is in L.A. George has been a Rams diehard fan your whole life, George, and ever since we started this morning show, you've been so loyal in calling us after the Rams win. You got to be feeling awesome today.
Yeah, it was a very, very good win. I live in the Woodland Hills area where the Rams practice, and there's a fire going on that day, and it's, man, this team is amazing to be so resilient with such catastrophic situations in the city, and smoke is bad here.
Oh,
but anyway, congratulations to the team, and I was very impressed. And how about that 9 sacks last night from those kids, man? First two, they got so many rookies and second year guys. It's pretty amazing defense.
George, amazing.
Can I ask you a question about the air quality? So you said the smoke is pretty bad, and you are near the Rams facility. Just what is it like to breathe that in? Does it make it hard to breathe? How is it walking around?
Yeah, you should probably be wearing a mask outside right now. It's going to get bad again. I hate to say it, but I don't want to be political, but we got to get some new people in charge, man. You Listen. Can't just not have water. Is that insane?
George, we're just all just heartbroken for you guys. We really are. Thank you so much for the call, and maybe the Rams lifted some spirits last night. That political part's going to all play out, but it's unimaginable the images that keep coming out of LA and not knowing when the wind's going to pick back up, and you have such little time to try to get ahead of it and evacuate, and the hundreds of thousands of people who have been evacuated. It's crazy.
Oh, the stories are heartbreaking and terrible and scary. And I imagine with a family like I have, like, I don't know what I would do in that situation. I certainly, I feel terrible. By the way, he also had a good point about the GM, Les Snead. I mean, can we talk about the heater he is on draft picks? Like, he is just like drafting all pro defensive player after all pro defensive player. Him and Brad Holmes in Detroit, like, those guys are something's in the GM water for these guys. He is building a champion right there for LA.
Turns out F them picks was a bad philosophy. He's really good at drafting.
Well, yeah, but he's amazing he's really amazing at the later rounds. That's where he's on fire. I'm just looking around, like, his draft picks, like, looking at, like, hit, getting Puka Nacua in the fifth round. I mean, that guy, I think Les Snead might become a Hall of Famer. I mean, he is really, because I know Matthew Stafford's old, but the rest of his team is babies. They could really do something here.
Jeff is in Tucson. Good morning, Jeff.
Maggie, Pearl up. How you guys doing?
How's it going, dude?
Wasn't much of a game to watch last night, but hey, you got to ease up on Darnold. He's not going to get paid. But one thing I can say about him is this is the first two games of his career that he's faced this kind of adversity. And let's look at the Rams' defense last night. I don't care who they went up against. The quarterback would have been miserable. Good luck for the Eagles having that come right at them. The coach.
Jeff, here's the thing, though. I don't think the Rams' defense looked awesome last night. They're going up against one of the best offensive lines in football in the Eagles, and Jalen Hurts can move around a lot better than Sam Darnold. I don't think this game's going to look anything like the divisional round's not going to look anything like last night.
Come on now. You know that Jalen, he's afraid to run right now a little bit.
A little bit.
Yeah.
That's a huge problem. You got to run. Also, too, the Rams shut off all the running lanes last night.
They did.
No, the Eagles' offense isn't going to do crap against the Rams, but that doesn't mean they'll lose the game.
I don't know. Stafford knows he's big time quarterback.
Yeah, but it's in the link at night, and it's going to be cold, and that's a long flight, and just keep pointing out they got a lot going on at home. All the conditions favor the Eagles in that sense.
Wait a minute. They just Stafford and the gang and six dogs and a couple cats all jumped on a plane, got their whole world turned upside down.
Yeah.
So going to the Eagles, that's going to be like part of like normal, give them some normalcy. Doing a regular game.
Yeah, but the link, it's the X factor.
3 o'clock kickoff, that's night? That's night time?
Oh, they're the 3 o'clock game.
Afternoon.
It's an afternoon game. That's
well,
right.
Let's see. The game where they almost murdered Brock Purdy, that was an afternoon game. And
that's true.
It felt like it. I mean, those officials are terrified of that crowd.
Come on. Brock Purdy against Stafford? Come on.
I mean,
there's no comparison there.
I saw Stafford come east against their Giants last year, and just that team is not the same on the East Coast. They just they have never. And the Jets game, that was a disaster too. Like, I don't know what Rams team you're talking about. You think they could play outside the same way they play inside?
All right.
I mean, did you see the Jets game? You tell me Matt Stafford and that offense is scary on the East Coast? I don't see that at all.
Jeff, thank you for the phone
call. I turn out Browns games to watch all the games because I have plenty of tickets.
There you go. Well, Jeff, I appreciate the call. It's going to be a little bit different task for the Rams.
It's just a very different set of circumstances.
And by the way, I know Jalen Hurts doesn't want to run right now because of the concussions and whatever, but if you're not going to run now, I'm not telling him he should put his brain in harm's way, but you walk on the field, you're putting your brain in harm's way. If you're not going to sell out for the run now and move around in the pocket, then, or, you know, use your legs or whatever, then when are you doing it for? It's a win or go home. You're in the divisional round.
He didn't run last year. I mean, he stopped running, did run in the playoffs. and it killed the Eagles.
I know, but like, first of all, he didn't have a knee injury last year. Was a little bit different.
Yeah. And how now he's got a concussion.
Well, but knee injury is a little bit different. Head injury, it's like you have to get over the fear that you're going to get hit in the head again. Your knee, you're actually limited in how much you can move. And the Eagles were on this ridiculous skid last year.
Yeah, in part everything because their offense couldn't get any first downs because Jalen got paid and decided I'm not putting my body on the line.
Oh, I thought you blamed the defense last year.
Well, the defense was terrible, but like when Jalen does not run, the offense bogs down. It was a combination. So they had no time of possession. Defense was out there too long, and they stunk. But by the way, can we just talk for half a second about how callous of a human being you are? You're like, that's a knee. Like, I can understand not running when you have a knee injury, but just because you have a grade 3 concussion, put it out there on the line. What are you? What kind of inhuman person are you, Maggie?
First off, what are you? You're going to call me out on that? 99.9% of players in the NFL would rather be overcoming a concussion than a knee injury. You know that's true. We've talked to too many of them.
You're like, well, I can understand taking it easy if you have a knee injury, but just because your brain rattled around inside your skull
you
and you've
say?
Been sick for 4 weeks, you should really sell out and run. Because if not now, then when? What kind of human being are you? You have a son.
Yes.
You have a son. Are you going to send them out there? It's like, mommy, I'm seeing stars. Get out there and hit somebody.
And I would love to know, if Jalen Hurts doesn't run in this game and the Eagles lose, who's going to be the guy who comes in Monday morning calling him Flailin' Hurts? Not me. It's not going to be me with the derogatory nicknames. Definitely not.
No, I do. I understand. Yeah, I'm kind of half kidding. But I do think, like, it's not just, it's a confidence, right? Like, he didn't look comfortable running the ball. He slid way too early last week.
That's good. He's protecting himself.
Yeah, I just think that they really need him because this is going to be a battle, right? Like, we saw what happened last night. You cannot just drop back and hope that you have time for A.J. Brown to run deep. Like, you got to come up with every yard against that Rams defense. I don't even know how we got on this, except for the fact that you're just kind of mean.
I mean?
You're a Bills fan. Like, I'm sure you'd be like, Josh Allen, like, could be dizzy on the sideline. You're like, get in there. Get me a first down. Run.
He's already in there. I didn't put them in there. They put themselves in there. Hey, one other thing off of last night, talking about Matthew Stafford. So obviously handled the blitz really well. He's a veteran dude. There's not much that you can do that's going to, he's seen it all, right? How about the play where he's getting sacked? He's not even looking towards Puka Nacua, yet somehow gets the ball out. It's taken as a scoop and score the other way.
Yeah.
And then it's ruled an incomplete pass. I thought that was not the right call. Matthew Stafford knew where he was? He couldn't see. And everyone's like, wow, Stafford, what a genius. Like, this guy knew exactly where.
Well, let me ask you a question.
I thought he messed that up. I thought that was a fumble.
But it wasn't a fumble. I mean, he didn't fumble the ball.
He didn't fumble, but he...
So there, that's the end
like
of the story.
He let go of it or something. I don't know.
I mean, it was technically the right call.
But did it feel like a forward pass? That did not look like a pass.
Yeah, but Patrick Mahomes does that kind of thing all the time. It was a weak, weak effort, and it was clearly intentional grounding, even if Nacua was somewhere near there. But I got a huge text argument with a friend over this. Like, that's a fumble. I'm like, technically, no, it's not a fumble.
It was like
because you don't do that on a fumble.
Weird space in between. It was kind of like it's like he dropped it forward. I don't know how to put that.
I don't know what it was, but I really don't want it to be allowed anymore.
Yes.
That was the softest play I feel like I saw all weekend.
And it would have changed maybe the tenor of the game.
Yeah. You shouldn't be allowed to do that. You shouldn't be allowed to, when you're getting sacked, just say, oh, I'm just going to drop the ball at like this guy's feet, and that's a pass. Like, that's
well, it's supposed to be intentional grounding. It's supposed to be intentional grounding, and it's the same yardage.
Right, but they
the
didn't
fumble aspect
that
was different.
Nacua was in the way. I mean, I don't think it should be intentional ground. I think that's a fumble. I think you should have to make some real attempt to throw the ball.
Let me ask you a question. What if he just thrown it normally straight down? Would you call that a fumble?
It would have felt at least a little more intentional. No, as an intentional grounding.
Right, exactly.
That's if you're just like trying to dirt it.
But that's basically he was dirting it. Yeah, I know it was cheap.
It didn't look to me like he was dirty. It looked like he was just letting it go. You know, sometimes like they say when guys get hit like in the elbow and then their hand goes numb, it felt a little more like something flukish.
No, he was clearly shuttle passing it. I mean, like he was definitely through it. By the way, there were two personal foul calls. If they should not have been called. There was a late hit early that changed the game. It kept the Vikings in it. Basically, Rams, there was a pile and a Rams guy ran in and blocked a guy. And then this, you can't pick up a dude and throw him into your punter and get a 15-yard personal foul penalty. That call was insane. That made me mad, too.
What did they call it? It wasn't roughing the punter, was
yeah,
it?
Yeah, they called
it
personal foul,
personal
roughing the punter.
Personal foul, roughing the punter. Was it running into the punter?
He didn't run. Yeah. Because the punter was obviously got demolished, but that's because he didn't just get blocked. He got held and thrown into the punter. That was a ridiculous call. And also, there was this unnecessary roughness that was bad. The officials were kind of all over the place last night. I thought they missed a bad PI on Justin Jefferson.
Yep.
Anyway, to me, what are you going to do? That was a pass. You couldn't really call that a fumble because it wasn't a fumble. I mean, New York would have probably called it and said, you can't call that a fumble.
Yeah, it wasn't a pass. To me, it didn't feel like a pass and it didn't feel like a fumble. I don't know what it felt like. It just felt like a mistake. And I felt like Matthew Stafford got bailed out
a little bit. But did he do it on purpose?
See, I don't know if he did.
I do. He definitely did that on purpose. You guys don't think he tried to fling it?
But he couldn't see where he was going. He couldn't see where he was flinging it. That's the thing. His helmet was completely down. He had no vision.
Right, right.
So you're telling me that's a smart move. And if Matthew Stafford's so smart, he's flinging it to nothing, to nowhere?
Yes. That's what he obviously did. I mean, he flung it straight down into the ground. There's no risk there. I mean, it's a ridiculous play that you're allowed to do that. I agree with you.
I don't like it.
About it was good. It was definitely, but I don't know, like the rules, like you can't just change the rules on the fly.
Man, 855-212-4227. All right, last night's game. You got the Vikings going home, the future of Sam Darnold now a lot murkier perhaps than it was 3 weeks ago after two bad losses to the Lions and now to the Rams. And also, we got some coaching news for you. Bit of a surprise yesterday. We find out that the Dallas Cowboys are now in the running for a new head coach. Who's at the top of the list? We'll tell you next. It's M&P.
This portion of the show is brought to you by Ethos Life, the easy way to get life insurance in 10 minutes. Up to $2 million in coverage with no medical exam, just a few health questions. Get your free quote at checkethos.com. Not available in all states. Oh, Maggie, people are mad at you.
What
say you're being mean to Sam Darnold.
Well, Sam Darnold was mean to me last night. I had to watch that game. That was a shame.
Why am I not getting it? Here's the one thing. Sam Darnold gets all the credit when they win, gets hoisted on these teammates' shoulders, but that was a full team failure last night. In fact, I didn't love the body language of Justin Jefferson. And, dude, watch Puka Nacua and Cooper Kupp murder people on blocks. Do you see Justin Jefferson and Jordan Addison throwing their bodies around? I don't think so. I didn't love Kevin O'Connell's play calling. I didn't love the fact that the defense got torched the first two drives. Like, the Rams set the tone, like, we're going to run all over you. And they did. I mean, honestly, the Rams are a better team. Top to bottom.
But I don't know if people thought that not going into this game, because the Vikings were favored.
I was surprised because...
And favored on the road means very favored. They were both on the road.
Yeah, I just think that... I thought the spread was a little weird because Minnesota wasn't in Minnesota. I mean, if they had gotten the number one seed and gotten teams in their home, maybe... But it does seem like a bad matchup. Like, the Rams are a bad matchup. The Eagles desperately, I think, really would want to see the Vikings or the Commanders. Hurts is really good against the blitz. I think he could have handled Brian Flores. So it is a matchup game. And the same with your Bills. You know that drill.
Yeah, I mean, keeping it on the Vikings for a second, I'm being hard on Sam Darnold because he played terribly. Is he the only person who was responsible for that loss? No, and I think it's going to hurt Brian Flores. I think there's two things hurting Brian Flores. One, I think Tua Tagovailoa's criticism of how he handled him is bad, because a team that hires you as a head coach may need you to tutor and to develop a young quarterback, and I don't know if there's any evidence that he can do that. And two, I think that more seasoned quarterbacks pick apart Brian Flores' defense. It's one thing to, you know, confuse Caleb Williams and young quarterbacks and bad coaching staffs, but when you get to the elite of the elite, you know, what happened last night? You know, Matthew Stafford he went to town.
I think that Ryan Fitzpatrick's criticism of Brian Flores was much more impactful than Tua, because Tua was, when he came after Flores, was in his young 20s. Like, I think people would say, Tua doesn't really know as much. Ryan Fitzpatrick has played for every coach in
literally
the NFL.
Every team.
And he said Brian Flores became a complete egomaniac in Miami. Now, Flores has tried to counter and said that I've become more of a collaborator, but I think Fitzpatrick kind of cut the legs out. That being said, it doesn't seem like teams are shying away from Flores.
We'll see if he actually gets hired. I mean, so I think that Sam is going to wear this, but he's definitely not the only one. I didn't see a lot of criticism of Justin Jefferson's body language. I don't know.
I thought Jefferson like looked down last night on the sideline. Well,
they're getting their butts kicked.
Yeah, I know. I don't know. Jefferson to me is a great, great, great player, but it feels like you can take him out a little bit.
So poll questions up at Maggie and Pearl on X. Will Sam Darnold get a starting job next season? 65% of you are saying yes. So my bridge quarterback status for Sam Darnold is on a trajectory along the lines of a Jacoby Brissett or something like that for the rest of his career. I guess you guys do not agree with me on that.
Like a high-end Jacoby Brissett.
Okay. And then do you want your rock stars to have great singing voices? Yes is winning overwhelmingly, 79% to 21%.
I guess it depends how you define great singing voices, like an opera singer.
Well, it's almost like Picasso painting, right? You can go through the early works and it's all looks like real. It's like realism. And then he gets into the crazy stuff.
Right, but
I think Eddie Vedder could sing the national anthem and it would sound very pretty. It's not going to sound like Pavarotti, but he can do it like a classic song. I think he could sing.
Well, he's got a really raspy voice, though. It's his thing.
But it will still sound good, right? Like he can hit the right notes. It can be on pitch. It can technically be. He's a good singer. I think he can do that.
Okay.
And he's just one example.
Yeah, but he also, too, you can't understand the words when Eddie Vedder sings. That's so isn't okay. That a good part of singing? I mean, I don't know. I feel like he's more like he's a rock singer. It's like, kind of growls.
Yeah, but like, yo, Ledbetter is. In extreme, the other 99% of songs, you know what he's saying. Young Ledbetter is gibberish. Well, I still don't know what the words are. I've heard and sang that song a bazillion times.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe but I know what's in Jeremy. I know what's in Alive. I know what's in Better Man.
Okay, yeah, maybe I'm thinking Yell Ledbetter. Better Man is, you can understand, but like, is it Jeremy? I don't know. He just kind of growls. He's not like a classic singer. I'm thinking a singer like Freddie Mercury's a great singer. I don't think like Eddie Vedder's jam is that. But then again, like he's not Bob Dylan. Bob Dylan's the greatest ever, and his voice was terrible.
Right. We were asking this because Troy Aikman's voice was hurting a little bit last night, but EJ said he liked it better. You know, Troy's got a really good voice, cuts through the broadcast, but EJ likes slightly sick Troy Aikman, better than full strength.
Who's the greatest announcer of all time? John Facenda. And how did he get to do that? The NFL voice of God. NFL
Whiskey
voice.
And cigars.
Whiskey and cigars. I mean, there is nothing classic about that voice, and it's the best voice in the history of sports broadcasting.
I feel great.
By the way,
who's that, Brady?
Tony Romo. Tony Romo was criticized a lot for Sunday's game. Which game? I don't even remember which game he had now. But,
the Bills game.
Yeah.
The Bills game. He had a lot of, it was a less prepared Tony Romo, I thought. And also, remember the line.
Which is saying a lot, because.
Remember we always used to make fun of him, Martin Luther King, that guy deserved a day? That was the energy. He was starting a thought and just trailing off into nothing again and again and again. He would start something and be like, well, the city of Buffalo, yes. And he was just like starting sentences and had nowhere to go with them. All game long. Did anyone else notice that?
To learn more, visit realizethedream.org.
What a day. Martin Luther King Jr. deserves to have a day named after him.
Yeah.
Guys, that's coming this weekend. Don't forget.
Max.
Here we go again.
What's that?
Oh, MLK Day is next Monday, so that Sunday Ravens Bills game. Yeah. All bets are off.
Just Loki, please, Tony.
This is going to be fire.
Lay out, as they say in the business, layout means don't talk.
Also, there was it wasn't a competitive game, so he really had to vamp a little bit, and that's when he really gets in trouble. Oh my God,
Loki.
He doesn't need to vamp about MLK. There's literally nothing Tony Romo can say about Martin Luther King Jr.
No, I'm saying the Broncos Bills game. There was nothing on the field to talk about. The game was god awful by every metric, and so he started trying like add some color. It just didn't help.
What a day.
What a day. Honestly, they started doing the Red Cross stuff about raising money for people in LA, and I was like, Tony, don't. Just
facts.
Don't. Just let Jim handle it. Jim can do this. I also didn't love Jim Nance called his 500th game, right? Really big deal.
And friends.
You could tell he had like people he wanted to thank, and he had a thing. He had thought about it. He had something he wanted to say, and Romo jumped all over him. Like
I can already feel the aura.
Like multiple times.
Just let Jim Like, he's thought about this for weeks. You haven't thought about it at all. Just let Jim say what he needs to say about the 500th win or 500th game and thank the people. And Tony was like, ah, Jim. Like, oh.
Yeah. 1988, huh?
Weak, Tony.
I'm assuming Jim Nance is already in the Broadcaster Hall of Fame. If he's not, like, would Tony would...
What's a Broadcaster Hall of Fame?
I'm assuming there's a Sports Broadcaster Hall of Fame. There's a Radio Hall of Fame.
I mean, the NFL has its own media award.
Right.
You said it like, oh, like it's Cooperstown. Like,
sure.
There's that one in North Carolina.
There is a Sports Broadcaster Hall of Fame. Yeah, and it's actually in New York City, apparently.
Well, there's the NSM... What's it called? It has a...
This one doesn't have any weird names. It's just called the Sports Broadcaster Hall of Fame. Class of 2024 includes Huey Brown, Brian Gumbel, Andrea Kramer, Chris Mortensen, RIP. So there's some Jim Delaney, there's some heavy hitters in this class. TBD of Jim Nance is here.
But what I was trying to get at here is that Romo would jump on the dais like the Kool-Aid man breaking through a wall. Jim just can't get through a sentence without Tony Romo. Was what I was going to say.
What a day.
Every year, by the way, Dan Patrick nominates, like, made a lot of press for trying to get John Facenda in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. And it actually worked.
Yeah.
He got him in. There's, like, an announcer wing. And this year, last year he did Brent Musburger. Totally agree. That guy should definitely be in the Hall of Fame, right?
Facts.
Jim Nance, by the way, is in the Sports Broadcasting Hall of Fame. He is class of 2018.
But would you put him in the Football Hall of Fame? Because Nance also had the Final Four, Masters. I'm not sure. I would put Brent Musburger in the NFL Hall of Fame before I would put Nance.
I mean, Nance, how many Super Bowls is he called now?
Right.
10 Super Bowls, probably?
When I think of Jim Nance, I don't really think
NFL.
I don't think NFL.
You think what, Masters?
I think Masters Turner. And then college basketball.
Yeah, that's his duel. That's his big week.
Yeah, like I feel like that's spring, April is Jim Nance time. March and April, got March Madness to start, then the Final Four in April, and then he's doing the Masters. Like, and he's been the number one NFL guy for a long time, but I don't know. It just almost feels like that's just like, of course he's in that role. Like, he's the number one CBS guy. But it doesn't feel like that's part of his identity in a weird way.
Oh, man, I totally disagree with you guys. But can we put up as a poll, what's the first thing you think of when you think of Jim Nance's career? Is it golf? Is it college basketball or NFL?
It doesn't really matter because he's in everything.
His signature line is "Hello, friends." Did that start at the Masters? I assume.
Yeah, I thought it did. Yeah.
Hello, friends.
So he's right. In the other Hall of Fame that you were thinking of, the NSMA
in
Hall
Salisbury,
of Fame.
North Carolina.
He's in that. He also is in the Pro Football Hall of Fame.
Oh,
and
he
he's in the Basketball Hall of Fame.
Nance.
Yes.
Nance is already in the Pro Football Hall.
Already.
Oh, okay. Then we don't need to make a movement for him.
Yep. He has the media awards from those two halls of fame.
Ah, good.
So he's in.
I think of NFL.
That's your first thought on Nance? Don't you think of it as like the whole package?
Yeah, I guess the one thing about March Madness is, yes, he's been doing the Final Four, and now Ian Eagle does it, and Ian does a fantastic job. But there's so many voices on college basketball, and the big things about college basketball are the upsets. And you have no idea if Jim Nance is calling the upsets, right? Like, there's six different broadcasters who each have an equal shot at calling these great upsets. Like, Andrew Catalan, I think, actually has called some bigger upsets than probably Nance.
Harlan's called some huge ones.
Gus Johnson
has called some huge ones.
Exactly. See, like, I guess college basketball might not be the number one thing I would think of.
But it's the Final Four, though. That's where, I know what you're saying, but, like, the Final Four to me, it's like, all right, when, like, I know it's maybe is not what it's used to be. I know we've argued about that a bunch on the show. But, like, when it was North Carolina versus Illinois, like, those grand matchups, like, it was Jim Nance on the call.
I mean, he came up.
Carmelo Anthony beating Kansas. Like, those, like, that's what I remember growing up.
I mean, I think his first claim to fame was college basketball, even before Masters, right? I mean, when did he really hit it? I don't know. I think of him in CBS. Yes, he was doing football for a long time, but I think that was when he just became huge, huge. I don't know. But by the way, he's also... He's an incredible golfer, right? That's like golf is a big part of who Jim
Nance. You played golf with him.
Yeah, I mean, he's a college golfer. Like, he's talked about that a lot. Like, if he could be anything, he'd be a professional golfer.
Yeah, so but I that's think like most quarterbacks too.
Yeah, I think
and Steph Curry.
The thing that is probably most precious to him is the Masters, I would think. There is that. I've never been to the Masters, but everyone who goes down there just talks about it like it's la, you know. So I, and
what a commercial.
That's a direct quote, by the
yeah.
way.
Yeah, and you know, Nance,
the birds chirping.
The reason I played with him is he recreated the ninth hole in his backyard. He, you know, and he took us through his house, and a lot of it is golf related stuff.
More golf related memorabilia than
definitely, definitely. I mean, he lives
at Pebble Beach.
Yeah, I didn't want to say that.
That's not a secret.
Yeah, he lives at Pebble Beach. Yeah. Like, golf is a huge part of his life.
When you walk into Jim Nance's house, can you tell you're in Jim Nance's house right away?
No. He doesn't have like Emmys sitting around. He's not one of those guys at all.
Wasn't sure.
Yeah, yeah. I
would have pegged him as one of those guys.
You would or would not?
I would have.
Like Emmy on the mantle?
Yeah. Well, he's living in like a really fancy area. Like I think that would be considered kind of D-class A.
I know, but there's a guy like that gives his tie to who he deemed the final four most outstanding player. So I think and he has a picture of the level of burnt toast he wants in his wallet. He's a weird dude. I would not be surprised if there was like just pictures of him and Tiger Woods, him and Jack Nicklaus,
like a shrine
house.
To yeah. his career. Maybe in his office.
What does that mean?
It's funny.
I don't think of Jim Nance as being weird, but that toast thing is a little.
Yeah.
It's maybe for someone who travels a lot.
God, Jim Nance strikes me as the least weird person of all time.
Yeah, he's unique. True.
I know about the burnt toast, but he's just like...
And the tie thing is a little presumptuous, no? Like Chris Webber wanted a tie?
But have you ever... Like, he never really has awkward conversations. Like, he, you know, he comes up to everybody. He's like, hello,
friends.
Yeah, hello, friends. He's very easy to talk to. Like, that's why we love him as a broadcaster. He makes Romo palatable, for God's sake.
That's debatable.
As much as Romo tries. Yeah. Interesting. All right, Bogus, I'm sorry. You got to hang out for 1 second. Apparently,
the Vikings lost. I'm done. See you guys later.
Okay, I wasn't sure if that was sponsored. We have someone on the line who has the origin story of Hello Friends. We'll get to that in a moment. And of course, a lot of football. Don't move.
Hello Friends.
Soon, guys, soon. Winter will be over. The azaleas will be blooming. Jim Nance will be back on the Call the Masters. But first,
Hello Friends.
We've got football to get to. How did our conversation get on Jim Nance anyway? Oh, I know. Started talking about Tony Romo paying tribute to Martin Luther King Jr.
Yeah, yeah.
Two words you don't want in the same sentence. Richard is in Indianapolis. Richard, you claim to know the origin of Hello Friends.
Yes, I claim to. And that is, he says, hello, friends, at the beginning of each broadcast in order to remember his father. And if you look at his eyes are very different when he says those words. He's thinking of his father.
Was that something his father used to say?
I do not know that.
Okay.
But it's a remembrance of his
father. It's a tribute. Love it. Richard, thank you for calling in. We'll take the research from here.
Hello, friends.
Well, that's very nice.
His dad was suffering from Alzheimer's, and that was a way, that was like an homage to his greeting to his father while he was battling it towards the end of his life.
Man.
Jim Nance Sr.
That's nice.
Who's better than Nance? You guys don't think of him first as an NFL broadcaster. And I
think of him as a whole package. Like, it's not like he's not an NFL broadcaster. I think of all three. Yeah. I mean, honestly, the Masters would probably be, because there are other NFL broadcasters. There's nobody else can do the Masters. I mean, that'd be ridiculous. I mean, Vern Lundquist was a big part of that too, but you know, the funny thing about Romo, halfway through this year when Brady was struggling as a broadcaster, finding his voice, Romo was being exalted. I thought this was like the year of his career for Tony Romo.
I know. And then you're right. I think it's the blowout.
Game.
I think that when it's a blowout, it's hard for him to vamp because he kept going back to the Broncos have a chance here. The Broncos have a chance. Like Romo, they don't. It's over, man. I get it. It was 10-7 at halftime, and the Broncos doinked a field goal, but that game in the third quarter was not close.
Mag, you know what Bogus and I were talking about earlier? I have my biggest criticism is different than you guys on announcers. I have one thing that drives me crazy.
What's that?
If you're sitting there and you're on a mic, you have to rip the officials when they make a mistake. That should be half your job. And I feel like last night, there was clearly like they picked up a Rams player and threw him into the punter, and nobody said anything. And then, of course, the officiating analyst comes on, and they're going to always be pro for their buddies. I just don't like... And Brady the other day, there was a terrible call. He goes, oh, yeah, maybe that was a little too much contact. I'm like, how did they not throw the flag? I just think that these guys got to come out there and rip the officials. Like, isn't that what an announcer should do? You're the voice of the fan.
Well, I do think that's where you give Troy Aikman some credit, because he does do that he does that laugh. Like, he tells you without ripping the officials. He'll be like, but last all right, night, sure, ha, 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 ha.
Last night, they missed a bunch of them. These were some bad calls last night. And I felt like Aikman and Buck, because Aikman was sick, I'll give it, were not on top of it.
Hmm.
And Brady, Bogus told me Brady's not really allowed to.
He can't rip the officials?
Yeah, that's as far as I know, that's one of the ownership limitations. He can't critique the officials on the air.
Oh.
I mean, this is not good.
Yeah, told you.
I didn't realize that was a thing.
Yeah. Unless I'm wrong, which I often am, but I'm pretty sure that that's one of the things that he's limited in as part of the Raiders.
Way to come in with confidence.
Yeah.
Unless I'm wrong, which happens quite a bit.
But even if it's not specifically spelled out, I do think the broadcasters are scared of ripping the NFL.
Yeah, because I think the NFL says don't destroy the product. I think there's enough people who believe that the refs have agendas, or that they're playing to the home crowd, or, you know, all these things.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but if quarterback grabs Justin Jefferson's jersey with two hands, and then like, well, and the officiating announcer says, well, that's mutual contact. I mean, I just feel like you're an officiating expert. Why do you guys get so much stuff wrong? Like, why do the officiating experts, like, they never seem to have any idea what the replay is going to reveal. I just feel like this is a weird thing. Blandino is good, though. That's the one guy I like.
Yeah. Sterator, on the two games on CBS this weekend, those are the only games he was watching, and he still seemed confused as to why they were bringing him on, like, to talk about the play that just happened. They need to get caught up, like, in the moment. This is the game we're watching, Gene.
Oh, God, help me out, guys. There was a ruling this weekend where only the officiating expert knew what the actual rule was. Everybody was super confused.
Mm.
I know exactly. I know.
It was like where the ball was supposed to be placed.
Yeah.
Oh, it might have been. No, I don't know what it was. It wasn't when that Chargers punter knocked the ball down.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. He knocked the ball down after it got blocked.
Yeah, maybe.
Run back the other way for 2 points.
Was it where the ball was supposed to be placed after a personal foul for taunting? Something like that. Anyway.
How about last night the official didn't know what down it was? He said second down. Joe Buck's like, it's fourth down. And it took a while for them to come around. Fourth down and second down are very, very different.
Yeah, I want my broadcasters to be critical and honest about what they're seeing.
Bogues, headlines got anything for us?
The Rams won last night 27-9. They sacked Sam Darnold 9 times, so they play in Philadelphia now. On Sunday afternoon, the Clippers won their first game back in L.A., 109-98 over Miami. James Harden had 26 points and 11 assists. And hockey last night, both our Connors scored. McDavid and the Oilers beat the Kings 1-0, but Bedard in Chicago lost to the Flames 5-2. There you go, guys.
Appreciate that. Quickly, Sean is in Oregon. Sean, you want to weigh in on Sam Darnold's bad game from last night?
I do. I think Sam Darnold is a backup quarterback, and I think he's going to go back to being a backup quarterback. You know, I was asking my friends last night, I said, who would you rather have on your team as your backup quarterback? I said, would you rather have Cooper Rush or Sam Darnold? And I got some votes for Cooper Rush last night. I was pretty surprised. And then I heard you guys talking about voices, and I love having a good voice. My dad had a good voice and just runs my family. And I think back to great voices in rock and roll. Rock and roll had the greatest voice, and it starts with the king of rock and roll is Elvis Presley.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know what Perloff's talking about. He doesn't think that rock and roll singers have good voices.
Yeah, no, I think it's more about character, like Bruce Springsteen. Like, that's not a great voice. It's like gravelly.
What about Jim Morrison? I mean, you go down the line. I mean, what about you just go on down the line, brother.
Well, it starts like you got to, like,
John.
I heard this great take of Mick Jagger.
Thank you, Sean.
Ripping interviewer who was complaining about Bob Dylan's voice. He's like, yeah, you don't understand rock singing at all. He's like, it's all about character. It's not about the quality of your voice. And that was Mick, who has a pretty good voice. But yeah, it's like classic voice. Like, whatever opera voice is, that's not what you want for rock and roll. And by the way, Sean calling himself having a good voice, I appreciate the confidence.
855-212-4227. Well, looky here. Cowboys need a head coach. Talk about it next.